Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we have a huge show for you tonight. So much going on in the world of sports. We will get into, of course, the NCAA title game, which was played last night. We got football, NFL, more Deshaun Watson news. Rob has something to say about Steph Curry that we're going to get into. We're going to have fun. So keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or SiriusXM Channel 83 for the next 3 hours, and you will not be disappointed. Let me welcome in my partner, Mr. Rob Parker. What up, man?
Akil Badu.
Okay.
He's the hottest thing in Detroit.
Somebody's name.
He's the hottest thing in Detroit, Chris.
Come on, Sal.
He's a new player for the Detroit Tigers. A brother who, we've been writing all about him and doing videos on MLBBro.com, but here's what he did today. He had the game-winning walk-off RBI hit. Chris, you know what he did last night? He had a Grand Slam home run. You know what he did the day before
in his
debut?
Are you his PR guy or what?
You know what he did? His debut? On the very first pitch he saw in the major leagues, he had a home run. So 3 days in a row, home run. He had a Grand Slam last night, and tonight a walk-off RBI single for the Tigers. Akil Badu,
you were just, let it be known, you were just cheering for Akil Badu.
I wasn't cheering.
That was
spreading the news.
That was a masculine cheer.
Akil Badu.
That's what that was.
Badu, Badu, Badu. Badu, Badu, Badu.
Look, and you keep going.
Every time he gets a hit, you got to play this. Badu, Badu, Badu. Badu, Badu, Badu. Badoo, badoo,
like
badoo.
Like I said yesterday I'm happy for the brother. That's great. But like I said yesterday with the Yankees, Rob, it ain't even early yet.
No, I know. But
It's too early to say it's early.
It's the kid's first three games. That's pretty sweet, though. All right.
No, he's had a nice debut.
He has. Let me say, so I got one shot, Chris, one shot down, one to go. I have to wait a month.
Yeah, I saw your photo.
Yep. So I did get the.
Did you have a chance to get the one? Single shot? Because I got the single shot.
Yeah, no, I had to when you apply to get on the list, they didn't give me an option to take the one or two. You know what I mean?
Okay,
it was like,
right,
this is what's available. You come. So I have to wait a month from today and I'll get the second shot.
Hey,
I feel
month,
okay. How did you feel?
Go to Arlington and join the 40,000 in the stands. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Boy, did you see that? I thought, wait a minute. I thought Texas was a red state. Trump said to boycott, Chris, baseball. Were the people in Texas, are they not Trump people?
They are Trump people, but they ain't boycotting. That's
they ain't boycott
true.
The Rangers. They sold the place out. Crazy. All right.
All right. Speaking of Texas, let's introduce the Odd Couple crew first. We got USC Chris in the house on
hey,
the ones
Chris,
and the twos on
USC
the trash
Chris.
Talking Tuesday.
That's right.
You could trash
Badu,
anyone,
Badu,
anything
Badu.
In the world.
Come on, Chris.
In the
Badu,
third
Badu,
hour.
Badu.
All right, enough cheerleading. My goodness, I'm gonna start
Chris
calling
is from
you
Toledo.
Badu.
Chris, am I USC? Chris, am I making a? Am I going overboard on
yes,
Badu?
Yes, you're cheering.
Absolutely not. He's the hottest thing in Detroit right
That's
now.
That's fine, but you're cheering like right. a schoolgirl. All right. We got super producer Rob G in full effect. And on the updates, our man Ralph Irvin. Maybe Badu will do something. They play tonight? Maybe
Not
Ralph
a,
already,
will
get to say something about it.
He already,
they already
got
played
it.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Rob, the game. Texas, first NCAA championship for men since 1966. But at first, that sounds crazy. But when you think about it, you know, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, SMU, you know, they don't really have basketball powers down there. Houston, which, of course, blew its chance to win it with Phi Slamma Jamma. But Baylor just destroys Gonzaga. Went out to a 9-0 lead, and that was about as close as it got. They expanded on the lead, and it never was in doubt.
Well, we talked about it in the beginning, Chris, is sometimes you have to spend so much energy when you fall into a early hole, even though it was early in the game. You remember we just said that's not the way you want to start.
Absolutely.
When you're down 9-0 or whatever it was, 13-2.
11-1, 9-0. It just got ugly. And the other thing was their best player, Jalen Suggs, fouled out. Now, Rob, this is my take. I don't think they choked. I think Gonzaga got beat by a better team. Watching that game, and I saw Steve Lavin, who joined us yesterday. He was on television today. He said, look, in a six-game series, or no, he said in a seven-game series, he thinks Baylor wins in six. And I would tend to agree. I mean, Baylor was just faster. They were more athletic. They were a better shooting team. They were a better defensive team. They rebounded better. They were stronger. They were just better. And I get that Gonzaga was, you know, undefeated and all that. But they do play in a fairly weak conference. I mean, let's not forget that. I don't want to poo-poo their undefeated record because they did beat some ranked teams. They beat Kansas. They beat Iowa and all that. But they also play in a weak conference where you get a steady diet of teams like Pepperdine and Santa Clara and St. Mary's and all that stuff. So they look, they just were overwhelmed. It was as simple as that. If I'm Gonzaga, and I think their coach shared this, he didn't say it, but you could tell, they got beat by a better team. I mean, Baylor was the best three-point shooting team in the country, and they shot like it last night. They shot 10 for 23 from the arc. Gonzaga shot 5 of 19 from the arc. They out-rebounded them by 16. In fact, Baylor had 16 offensive rebounds. One of their players had 8 offensive rebounds himself, Mark Vital, or Vital, whatever his name is. And Gonzaga only had 5 offensive rebounds all together. So this was, you know, okay, I'm not going to fully deny that the UCLA game took a little bit out of Gonzaga emotionally, maybe even physically. But this was simply, to me, the case of a better team prevailing. Baylor, we talked about Gonzaga winning everything by double figures up until the UCLA game. Well, Baylor won all 5 of their 6 tournament games by double figures, and the one they didn't win by that, Arkansas, they beat by 9. They beat Houston, which was a top team in the country, number 2 seed, pounded them in the Final Four. And we saw Gonzaga struggle with a number 11 seed, but from a better conference. And so that's my take, Rob. I don't think they choked. I think they got beat by a better team.
I don't buy Chris Broussard for 1 second, 1 iota. On this very radio show, we were talking about where they fit in all time. Then we were talking about where they're going to fit in. Jay Billis was like, you can't poo-poo them. And they were the favorites. They were rolling over everybody. They had the schedule. They were the favorites in Vegas. They choked it down. There's no other way, Gonzaga. Oh, I can't breathe. I'm struggling. I need air. Where's Dr. Heimlich when you need him? They choke like choking dogs in the championship. I said it last night before the show, during the show. I knew it was going to happen. They won every game because all the other games didn't matter. The only game that mattered was last night. I don't want to hear about UCLA took it out of them. No, they weren't ready. They weren't ready for the big stage and the bright lights. They wilted like a burger under those heat lamps at a fast food restaurant. Gonzaga, you stunk last night. You stunk up the joint. You don't deserve to even be mentioned with the school, other schools that almost pulled off an undefeated season. Are you kidding me? I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. They lived up to their billing. The little engine who couldn't, just couldn't, even with an almost undefeated season. All these people making excuses. Baylor wasn't the better team, Chris. They played better. They played better, but they weren't the better team. That's why they were underdogs. That's why they were underdogs. That's why most people picked Gonzaga all year long. They weren't the best. They played better, but they weren't the better team. Don't tell me a team that was undefeated going into the championship
game. Baylor lost two games.
Was not the better team. I don't care.
They don't play the same schedule. You act like they play the same schedule.
Then why was Baylor then the underdogs by Vegas? Why?
Who cares?
No, it's not who cares.
Vegas isn't God.
No, it ain't, but that's why.
If you watch that game, you can see Baylor was
better. I'm not talking about how they played. I'm talking about going into that game, the favorites was Gonzaga, and they choked it down like choking dogs. And you know what? I'm not surprised. Good for Baylor, and I'm not going to boo-boo and cry my eyes out. Oh, what a ruined season it was for Gonzaga. No, they weren't there. And all that premature talk about them being one of the greatest college teams ever. Please.
Well, I agree with you on that.
That they
and
made,
we shot
the bench
that
shot
down
that even
yesterday.
Helped them beat UCLA.
But
they
deserve
everything they got last night. They got their butts kicked in the NCAA championship for everybody to watch. And always remember that Gonzaga, I don't care what division you are, you're still little brother when it comes to college basketball.
Rob Parker, bravo. That was a cute soundbite. Really. It was nice. It'll get some views, it'll get some likes, it'll get some laughs and all that. But you cannot watch that game last night. And yeah, you want to say they just played better? No, you could see it. They were better. Baylor was 27-2, playing against a much better conference schedule in the Big 12 than the West Coast Conference that Gonzaga lived off. You can look at the turn. I mean, you said it. UCLA and also ran in the Pac-12 almost beat them. Gonzaga had one player who could handle the heat, and it was Jalen Suggs. The rest of them couldn't handle it. It was too hot in the kitchen, baby. It was too much speed out there. It was too much ferocity out there. Too many biceps, too much bumping out there for Drew Timmy, for Corey Kispert, for Joel Ayayi, Andrew Nembhard. They stepped up a notch and found out what time it was. But they didn't choke. They just got hammered by a better team, especially when their best player, Suggs, was out in the first few minutes with foul trouble. He can play, though. I was impressed with him. Savvy, poised, wasn't rushed, hitched jumpers, hit driving shots, passed it well. He's a baller. But the rest of them weren't ready for this, and it showed. All right. We're going to see what you guys think. Are you with Rob? They put the two hands to the throat. Are you with Rob Parker? Or are you with me? Baylor was just better. Your turn to weigh in. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. It's The Odd Couple. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Our prayer's certainly out for DMX. Say a prayer for the brother. And hopefully he can come out of this situation better than ever. The Thriller Fight Club event is happening soon. April 17th, Jake Paul squaring off against Ben Askren. And Jake, if you get past Askren, my man Kendall Gill is looking for you. All right? He texted me last night. He's looking for you. Shaquille O'Neal's even put it out there. Kendall Gill is looking for you, Jake Paul.
Oh, I was going to say, I hope Shaquille O'Neal's not getting in the ring.
No.
Oh, that would not be pretty right there.
That would be interesting. He's so big.
He can't move, Chris. He would get killed.
You think?
Yep. Because if he doesn't land a punch to knock him out, he can't react.
He can't react, but can he take?
He can't react.
You know,
what
he's
I'm saying.
So much big, twice as big as
Jake but Paul. It ain't wrestling where you got to grab somebody. Somebody could just come up and hit you on the side of the head and knock you out. You know what I mean?
You got to reach up. It'd be interesting. But yeah, I don't want to see that because I'd hate to see Shaq get beat if indeed that were going to happen. But all right, and listen, you got the opportunity to win a free trip to Atlanta to see this event, Jake Paul versus Ben Askren. Enter for a chance to win airfare for two people, hotel accommodations, and tickets to the ultra-exclusive event by going to foxsportsradio.com. Join celebrity royalty, too. Guys like Snoop Dogg, Pete Davidson, Dixie, and others. Plus, be one of only a handful of people, 200 fans to be exact, to see top performers like Justin Bieber, The Black Keys, Doja Cat, Diplo, and more. Enter and get rules at foxsportsradio.com by April 6th. That's today. All right? You got till today. So go to foxsportsradio.com. 877-99 on Fox. Do you agree with Rob? Did Gonzaga choke? Or do you agree with me? They just got beat by a better team. Your turn to weigh in.
All right. Let's kick it off with Tim in Atlanta. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going today?
Good,
doing great.
Brother, how are you?
I'm good, man. You know what? I consider Gonzaga like Notre Dame football, man. It's like, you know, they're pretty. They beat up these teams during the regular season, man. They put them in the playoffs every year, and they always never measure up, man. And that's how I feel like Gonzaga is. It's like they just remind me of Notre Dame football, man.
See, I disagree with that from this year. No, they were never 30-0 or whatever. They were never undefeated throughout the whole ball of wax. Gonzaga's never been on the verge of setting history. I don't think that's a fair comparison.
Yeah, you mean Notre Dame was never on the, at least recently?
No, I'm talking about Gonzaga's never been here, Chris. I mean, to be able to be undefeated.
You're saying, but they're a power now. You know what I mean? They haven't been undefeated, but nobody has hardly.
No, that's what I'm saying. This was a special place to be in, and that's all I'm saying. I just can't look at this and think of them years ago, them just making a tournament or people saying, you know, hey, maybe they might win one year. You know, like this was their chance and they didn't do it.
All right.
877-99 on Fox. Cage in North Carolina, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Cage?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm great. Can't complain. I don't think Gonzaga choked. I think they got choked out. I think they was down like 15 points when they were putting their sneakers on. And a lot of people don't realize this matchup was supposed to happen early in the year. And they got hit by COVID. And a lot of people didn't realize they were individually quarantined. And by them being individually quarantined, the chemistry was messed up. Because I think they got beat the brakes off by Kansas, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Yeah, Baylor. Because they were individually quarantined, and it took them a while after they got hit with COVID to actually get that chemistry.
Yeah, but wait a minute. They just won a big game to get into the championship. They knocked down a three to win the game to knock off UCLA. I don't care where UCLA was ranked. It's a win or go home kind of game. You win it, you should be feeling good. All they got to do is play one more basketball game and play as well as they play.
Baylor,
no, I know. know, but I'm just talking about the idea that he was saying, well, they got beat by a better team and they were down 15-0. You shouldn't be down 15-0. Not in a game like that. That's my point. You could choke out the gate. You could choke because you weren't ready. And that's what I'm talking about. They weren't ready for the big game. They choked. Marty in Kentucky, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Marty.
Andre. Marty dropped, I think, his phone. Yeah. Andre, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Listen, I got to go agree with you, Rob, in that Gonzaga, not ready for prime time. And here's why. Listen, this is a team that beat Kansas by double digits to start the season. They beat Iowa by double digits. They mollywhopped Virginia. Okay, Gonzaga has been in games with high-level teams. And for me, it's not that you lose. It's how you lose. As the other callers said, for them to get Mike Tyson knocked out in the first round and not to be competitive all the way through. It's okay if you lose. Okay, it's not that, but how you lose, Gonzaga, you didn't play your best game. You got
they didn't show up. They choked, no doubt.
Here's the thing: had they lost by 3 points in the nail biter, it wouldn't have been any better.
No, but Chris, they were never in this game. They were out of the game before it started. They were spooked before the
because they were beaten by a better team.
They were spooked
and they
before
lost
the
their
game
best
started.
Player a few minutes into the game. Don't act like that didn't have an effect on it. All right, we got Amy Dash, Fox Sports Radio, legal analyst. This is going to be interesting. She's coming up in a moment, but first.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Our next guest is a Fox Sports Radio legal analyst, does a tremendous job on our network and others. We are pleased to have Amy Dash joining the Odd Couple. Amy, how are you?
What's up, Amy? I'm great. Wow, thank you guys so much for having me on. I love this show. I'm so thrilled to be talking to you guys.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate that. And let's get to it. We watched the Tony Busby, that's the lawyer who's representing most of the plaintiffs against Deshaun Watson. And he had a press conference today where he talked about the cases. And you put out a tweet that really rocked me because to me it took this thing, which already looks bad, to a whole nother level. I'm going to read your tweet and then you can kind of respond and expand on it.
Sure.
This is from you. My reading of the Busby presser is that they are basically discreetly accusing Deshaun Watson of trafficking women locally and nationally, a state and federal crime, if true. Would not surprise me if Busby was cooperating with the feds. I mean, that puts a whole nother degree of seriousness on this, it feels like.
And let me say this, Amy, real quick before you respond. After you respond, can you explain for people who don't understand what trafficking is, you know, and what it entails for you to break the law? Because a lot of people think you'd have to be bringing somebody in from some other country or they have to be underage or something like that. Can you explain that after you give your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. Well, first I want to say, obviously.
Uh-oh. Amy?
Yes,
hello? For a moment.
Yeah, we lost you. Start over. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that obviously Deshaun Watson is innocent until proven guilty.
No doubt.
So whatever he's accused of and however compelling the people who spoke today may have been, it's important to keep that in mind. But you're absolutely right. I thought that this was definitely Busby hinting at the possibility that Watson was allegedly sex trafficking women for a couple reasons, and then I'll break down the law. But, you know, first of all, the most obvious being that he had a human sex trafficking expert and survivor there who made a pretty powerful speech. There would be no reason to have a woman there talking about that, you know, unless it was relevant to the case. And also, he just emphasized certain things. Like, for example, there's an allegation that Deshaun Watson had flown a woman in from Atlanta, that he had Ubered her somewhere. So that's, you know, transporting. But he had really, really hammered home when he was talking about that during the press conference. Listen to what I'm saying, you know. Listen to, this is really important. And all throughout the complaints, you know, there is this pattern of keywords that as a lawyer, if you're sort of putting the pieces together, it would become obvious to you that they're building some sort of a case or at least cooperating towards some sort of a case like this. You know, force, coercion, that the victims were allegedly fearful, you know, that they were paralyzed by fear. One of them, they said, was locked in a room and couldn't get out. Some of them, they said, were threatened. You know, one was allegedly threatened that her reputation or her career could be messed with. But just to make it clear for everybody, because you make a great point, I mean, a lot of times you think that with the trafficking women, it's like bringing them in cattle cars or something, right, and prostituting young women against their will. But actually trafficking, first of all, doesn't require any movement. It could be a domestic or a local act. It could be with adults. And it really just requires at its most basic, just the recruiting. It could be the transporting, but recruiting would suffice. Just recruiting people using force or coercion to do so. And then the underlying purpose for that recruitment is to have them perform a sexual act or for sexual exploitation. So in this context where you have a domestic situation where there's a worker who's being paid for something, and they believe that they're going into the situation to be paid for the professional act that they, you know, want to conduct, and instead they are forced or coerced, I'm not saying this happened, but this is the scenario, they're forced or coerced into performing a sexual act and then being paid for that act instead of the act that they thought they were going to perform. Well, that's basically forced prostitution, and that would fall under the category of human trafficking.
Mm. And the other part that I wanted to ask is the idea that they haven't tried to settle, or like this case just seems to have gone like from 0 to 50 in a second. You know, like, is there any possibility of this when you get to this point, or no, that they could start writing checks for this to try to go away, or is the cat out of the bag, Amy?
Well, there's always a possibility they can try to settle, but it just seems from what Busby is saying that he's really taking this everywhere possible. I have no doubt he's cooperating with the NFL, and he's already said that they would be cooperating. But he's also mentioned talking to other investigative authorities outside of Houston PD. And there would really be no other investigative authorities that would be relevant to a state crime such as like an indecent assault or sexual assault unless you're talking to federal authorities. Now, there are a bunch of women who are from other states, you know, Georgia. Some of them are from, one was from Arizona, one from California, and they are accusing of the same thing. So if, in fact, the ultimate goal here is to say, listen, there are 50 women, the patterns are all the same, where there's a person who's allegedly contacting people on social media, you know, under the guise of, I'd like a massage, transporting them or recruiting them to a location, mm-hmm, and then coercing or forcing them to do a sexual act instead and paying them for that, well, then potentially you're talking about a national trafficking case where the feds would have jurisdiction. Mm. So those are the only other investigative authorities I could think of who he would be going to outside of Houston PD.
Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember a lot of cases where it's being played out this much in the public sphere. Like the lawyer bringing your defense, having, you know, they're not in court. They're making statements publicly. Am I wrong on that? Or does it seem like they're really trying to play this out in the court of public opinion long before you get to a courtroom?
I think they are, and I think it's because, you know, Busby said, we tried to settle. The woman who spoke today, initially, the rumor is that Busby had asked for $100,000 on her behalf. He says that their settlement attempts were made in order to avoid having to put her through the public scrutiny.
Right.
So he's saying, we didn't want to go this route. We didn't, but we were forced to because we were met with this arrogance from Deshaun Watson's attorney and lawyer who wouldn't settle the case. And then once it got into the public domain, all these other women started coming forward. And I think, you know, Busby's really on the defensive, and that's why they had to have this presser today to show the faces and the names of the alleged victims, that these are real people, you know, and sort of push back against all of the claims that this is just for publicity or just for fame and that it's not real.
How about, Amy, you know, this case reminds Chris and I both of the Bill Cosby situation. Like, you know, one woman says, this is what happened to me. Other women at home watching TV, and they say, you know what, that happened to me as well. And before you know it, it's 60 women, and Bill Cosby's in jail. Does it feel like that to you or not, or no?
It does in a sense, because there's a really similar pattern alleged in most of the cases.
Right.
But I think it's important to remember a lot of the cases, you know, allege that he touched women with his genitals, and that's as far as it went. There are a couple of cases where there's allegations of forced oral sex or forcible touching, and those are more serious. The woman who spoke today, her complaint is that there was an indecent assault. Now, technically, that's just a misdemeanor. So he might, she filed a criminal complaint, even if that went to trial or whatever, he could try to plea on that and just get probation. But Busby is saying that there was at least one other woman who has filed a criminal complaint and more to come. So I think it becomes in the Cosby realm if you have one of the women who alleged forcible oral sex, which is a felony, if she files a criminal complaint, then it becomes in the Cosby realm.
Okay. Thank you for clearing
that up. Amy, what would if you were representing Deshaun at this point, Rusty Harden, of course, is his counsel, what would your strategy be at this point after you've seen all that's happened?
It's really tough. I mean, I've seen what his strategy is to date. So, you know, they're saying blackmail, they're saying consent, they're attacking the attorney. I think it's just the strategy here would be, if there is any type of a criminal charge from the prosecutor, you plead that out right away. Because, like I said, some of these are just misdemeanors. And even on the felony, it just depends on how much supporting evidence there is. I do think there is a weakness in terms of evidence to Tony Busby's cases. He did talk about the evidence that he was going to make public today. And if that's all the evidence that he has, some direct messages or, you know, evidence of non-disclosure agreements, I mean, is that a little bit out of the ordinary? Yes. But I don't think that the evidence I've seen to date would be strong enough to corroborate that definitely something happened. So it really becomes a he said, she said.
But Amy, let me ask you, but there have been cases where people have gone to prison for life, no body found, no gun, you know, circumstantial. Is the burden of proof higher here?
Unfortunately, you're talking about people who don't have a lot of money. That's who that usually happens to.
But you know, he's got a lot of money.
So I don't. But, you know, it's horrible that our system's that way. But
that's fair. But you know what I'm saying. I've seen people go to jail for that. Where there's nobody.
Poor people. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
And here, I'm not going to downplay it. You know, if you have 22 character witnesses backing up one woman, if it goes the criminal route, yeah, that's really powerful. And as we saw today from the press conference, Tony Busby even attacked one of the women who came out and defended Deshaun Watson, who's a massage therapist, and said that he was a great guy. And he read a direct message from this woman that sounded pretty bad. You know, the woman basically saying that she knows that he's been messing with people and she had warned him, you know. And so that stuff is not good. It shows that there's really going to be an attacking of credibility on both sides of the aisle. But you're absolutely right. I mean, somebody could win on a he said, she said on a felony charge, and the person could go to prison for years.
Wow. Well, that's Amy
Dash, thank you. Oh, my
legal
goodness
analyst
gracious.
For Fox Sports Radio. Excellent stuff,
I feel
Amy.
Smarter
really
right now,
it.
And that's hard, Amy.
That's
hard.
I'm so glad.
You know it. It's hard. Oh, my God.
Great stuff. We'll talk to you in the future about
yes,
this.
Yes, Amy. Thank you.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks a lot. The best ability is availability, and one NBA title favorite is learning that lesson the hard way. This was written by a Lakers fan, you might be able to tell. We'll get into that next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. We're brought to you by Discover Card. Discover matches all the cash back that you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing. because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the United States that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. All right, Rob, the Brooklyn Nets, they're the team that both you and I have picked to win the championship. But injuries are really just playing a game on them. I mean, my goodness. Kevin Durant's missed the last 23 games with a hamstring injury. He's set to come back the next game tomorrow night. And yet, James Harden, who's been not only an Iron Man for the most part since the trade, Rob, to Brooklyn, he's been an Iron Man for his career. You know, in the last 8 years since his first year in Houston, only three other NBA players have played more games than James Harden. So he's an Iron Man, and yet he is out for the next 10 days at least. Looks like that could be 4 or 5 games with a hamstring injury. Does this concern you? This is odd.
Not at all. I'm not concerned. I think it's good fodder and conversation to have, but I'm just not. If they're hurt, Chris, come playoff time, then I'm with you. Then I'll look up and go, concern, yes, they're not full, they're not whole. They just have so much firepower, and it's 4 out of 7. If it's a one game NCAA single elimination tournament, then could they get beat? Absolutely. I'm saying right here, right now, that if those guys are all together and they're ready to play come playoff time, they will win the championship. Now, if two guys are out, then of course it's going to be a crapshoot. But I'm not going to sit here in April 6th and go, woe is me, oh, they can't win, or man, they're hurt or whatever. I'm not buying that. And let me see Kevin Durant come back. And if it's Kevin Durant and Kyrie for now, and in a week or 2 weeks, Harden joins them, and then they get it together before we get ready for the playoffs, I'm cool. They just keep winning regardless because they have other good players. And I'm not saying they're going to win a championship without one of the three, but I'm just not going to sit here and fret. If you told me that Harden's not playing again, then, yeah, Chris, I think all bets are off. Right. I wouldn't be able to sit here and say they're going to win the championship for sure. I believe nobody can beat that team 4 out of 7.
The interesting thing is this, and I'm not coming off the pick, but this is unprecedented. I mean, what they're trying to do is already virtually unprecedented. Winning it in your first year, that's not unprecedented. Doing with a first-year coach who's never coached at any other level, that's not wholly unprecedented. Steve Kerr did the same thing. What is unprecedented is that they have played so little together. When Boston won it in 2008 with their big three of Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce, they played the whole season together and even still had struggles, went 7 in the first 2 rounds and then 6 in the conference finals and the championship round. If they could easily enter the playoffs with their big three having played 15 games together. And maybe it could be even fewer than that, but I'll say 15 to 20, somewhere in there. And for them to win it, now that we haven't seen many teams this talented, I'll give you that. But that would be, that would be flouting history. The regular season would probably never be seen the same way.
But this is unusual because they're so talented and it's an arms race, and they have so much talent. And even the other night, the Knicks were up at 10 by the half. Only Kyrie was playing out of their stars. He got 40. They won. I know it was a 2-point win, but they just win. I don't know. What is the record now, Rob G? Is it
36-15? You know,
no. They got the best record in the East by half a game. And what if they won 22 out of 25?
It's probably like 22 out of 26 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, they've been rolling. I do feel like even as Durant is their best player historically, I think Harden is the key because he's the table setter. On a team like that with so many great players and scorers who are used to having the ball, You got four guys out, five guys who've been the go-to guy. You need a table setter. And Harden is that. As great as Kyrie is, he's a cold-blooded scorer. You know what I'm saying? He's a cold-blooded scorer. Yeah. Harden, obviously Durant is a great scorer too. Harden's the table setter. All right, we got 2 hours left. Don't move that dial. Odd Couple.